depth in front of them. About 30 feet down, the tunnel split into four smaller arteries, each one identical, but the one on the left radiated cold. "That way," she decided. "It feels the most dangerous."
"I'm sold," said Leo.
They began their descent. As soon as they reached the first archway, the polecat Gale found them. She scurried up Hazel's side and curled around her neck, chittering crossly as if to say, "Where have you been? You're late." "Not the farting weasel again," Leo complained. "If that thing lets loose in close quarters like this, with my fire and all, we're gonna explode." Gale barked a polecat insult at Leo. Hazel hushed them both. She could sense the tunnel ahead, sloping gently down for about 300 feet, then opening into a large chamber. In that chamber was a presence, cold, heavy, and powerful. Hazel hadn't felt anything like it since the cave in Alaska, where Gia had forced her to resurrect Porphyrion, the giant king. Hazel had thwarted Gia's plans that time, but she'd had to pull down the cavern, sacrificing her life and her mother's. She wasn't anxious to have a similar experience.
"Leo, be ready," she whispered. "We're getting close."
"Close to what?"
A woman's voice echoed down the corridor.
"Close to me."
A wave of nausea hit Hazel so hard her knees buckled. The whole world shifted. Her sense of direction, usually flawless underground, became completely unmoored. She and Leo didn't seem to move, but suddenly they were 300 feet down the corridor, at the entrance of the chamber.
"Welcome," said the woman's voice. "I've looked forward to this."
Hazel's eyes swept the cavern. She couldn't see the speaker. The room reminded her of the Pantheon in Rome, except this place had been decorated in Hades modern. The obsidian walls were carved with scenes of death, plague victims, corpses on the battlefield, torture chambers with skeletons hanging in iron cages, all of it embellished with precious gems that somehow made the scenes even more ghastly. As in the Pantheon, the domed roof was a waffle pattern of recessed square panels, but here each panel was a stela, a grave marker with ancient Greek inscriptions. Hazel wondered if actual bodies were buried behind them. With her underground senses out of whack, she couldn't be sure. She saw no other exits. At the apex of the ceiling, where the Pantheon's skylight would have been, a circle of pure black stone gleamed, as if to reinforce the sense that there was no way out of this place. No sky above, only darkness. Hazel's eyes drifted to the center of the room.
"Yep," Leo muttered. "Those are doors, all right."
50 feet away was a set of freestanding elevator doors, their panels etched in silver and iron. Rows of chains ran down either side, bolting the frame to large hooks in the floor. The area around the doors was littered with black rubble. With a tightening sense of anger, Hazel realized that an ancient altar to Hades had once stood there. It had been destroyed to make room for the doors of death.
"Where are you?" she shouted.
"Don't you see us?" taunted the woman's voice. "I thought Hecate chose you for your skill."
Another bout of queasiness churned through Hazel's gut. On her shoulder, Gale barked and passed gas, which didn't help. Dark spots floated in Hazel's eyes. She tried to blink them away, but they only turned darker. The spots consolidated into a 20-foot-tall shadowy figure looming next to the doors. The giant, Clytius, was shrouded in the black smoke, just as she'd seen in her vision at the crossroads. But now, Hazel could dimly make out his form. Dragon-like legs with ash-colored scales. A massive humanoid upper body encased in Stygian armor. Long, braided hair that seemed to be made from smoke. His complexion was as dark as Death's. Hazel should know, since she had met Death personally. His eyes glinted cold as diamonds. He carried no weapon, but that didn't make him any less terrifying. Leo whistled.
"You know, Clydeus, for such a big dude, you've got a beautiful voice."
"Idiot," hissed the woman. Halfway between Hazel and the giant, the air shimmered. The sorceress appeared. She wore an elegant sleeveless dress of woven gold, her dark hair piled into a cone, encircled with diamonds and emeralds. Around her neck hung a pendant like a miniature maze, on a cord set with rubies that made Hazel think of crystallized blood drops. The woman was beautiful in a timeless, regal way, like a statue you might admire but could never love. Her eyes sparkled with malice.
"Pacify," Hazel said. The woman inclined her head.
"My dear Hazel Levesque."
Leo coughed.
"You two know each other? Like underworld chums or..."
"Silence, fool." Pacify's voice was soft, but full of venom.
"I have no use for demigod boys, always so full of themselves, so brash and destructive."
"Hey, lady," Leo protested. "I don't destroy things much. I'm a son of Hephaestus."
"A tinkerer," snapped Pacify. "Even worse, I knew Daedalus. His inventions brought me nothing but trouble."
Leo blinked.
"Daedalus? Like, the Daedalus?
Well then, you should know all about us tinkerers. We're more into fixing, building, occasionally sticking wads of oilcloth in the mouths of rude ladies."
"Leo."
Hazel put her arm across his chest. She had a feeling the sorceress was about to turn him into something unpleasant if he didn't shut up.
"Let me take this, okay?"
"Listen to your friend," Pacify said. "Be a good boy and let the women talk."
Pacify paced in front of them, examining Hazel, her eyes so full of hate it made Hazel's skin tingle. The sorceress's power radiated from her like heat from a furnace. Her expression was unsettling and vaguely familiar. Somehow, though, the giant Clydeus unnerved Hazel more. He stood in the background, silent and motionless, except for the dark smoke pouring from his body, pooling around his feet. He was the cold presence Hazel had felt earlier, like a vast deposit of obsidian, so heavy that Hazel couldn't possibly move it, powerful and indestructible, and completely devoid of emotion.
Your friend doesn't say much," Hazel noted.
Pacify looked back at the giant and sniffed with disdain.
"Pray he stays silent, my dear. Gia has given me the pleasure of dealing with you, but Clytius is my, insurance. Just between you and me, as sister sorceresses, I think he's also here to keep my powers in check, in case I forget my new mistress's orders. Gia is careful that way."
Hazel was tempted to protest that she wasn't a sorceress. She didn't want to know how Pacify planned to deal with them, or how the giant kept her magic in check, but she straightened her back and tried to look confident.
"Whatever you're planning," Hazel said, "it won't work. We've cut through every monster Gia's put in our path. If you're smart, you'll get out of our way. Gale, the polecat, gnashed her teeth in approval, but Pacify didn't seem impressed.
You don't look like much, the sorceress mused. But then you demigods never do. My husband, Minos, king of Crete, he was a son of Zeus. You would never have known it by looking at him. He was almost as scrawny as that one. She flicked a hand toward Leo.
Wow, muttered Leo. Minos must have done something really horrible to deserve you. Pacify's nostrils flared.
Oh, you have no idea. He was too proud to make the proper sacrifices to Poseidon, so the gods punished me for his arrogance.
The Minotaur, Hazel suddenly remembered. The story was so revolting and grotesque, Hazel had always shut her ears when they told it at Camp Jupiter. Pacify had been cursed to fall in love with her husband's prize bull. She'd given birth to the Minotaur, half man, half bull. Now, as Pacify glared daggers at her, Hazel realized why her expression was so familiar. The sorceress had the same bitterness and hatred in her eyes that Hazel's mother sometimes had. In her worst moments, Marie Levesque would look at Hazel as if Hazel were a monstrous child, a curse from the gods, the source of all Marie's problems. That's why the Minotaur story bothered Hazel. Not just the repellent idea of Pacify and the bull, but the idea that a child, any child, could be considered a monster, a punishment to its parents, to be locked away and hated. To Hazel, the Minotaur had always seemed like a victim in the story.
Yes, Pacify said at last. My disgrace was unbearable. After my son was born and locked in the labyrinth, Minos refused to have anything to do with me. He said I had ruined his reputation. And do you know what happened to Minos, Hazel Levesque? For his crimes and his pride? He was rewarded. He was made a judge of the dead in the underworld, as if he had any right to judge others. Hades gave him that position. Your father.
Pluto, actually. Pacify sneered.
Irrelevant. So you see, I hate demigods as much as I hate the gods. Any of your brethren who survived the war, Gia has promised to me, so that I may watch them die slowly in my new domain. I only wish I had more time to torture you two properly. Alas!
In the center of the room, the doors of death made a pleasant chiming sound. The green up button on the right side of the frame began to glow. The chains shook.
There, you see, Pacify shrugged apologetically. The doors are in use. 12 minutes and they will open.
Hazel's gut trembled almost as much as the chains.
More giants?
Thankfully, no, said the sorceress. They are all accounted for, back in the mortal world and in place for the final assault.
Pacify gave her a cold smile.
No, I would imagine the doors are being used by someone else. Someone unauthorized.
Leo inched forward. Smoke rose from his fists.
Percy and Annabeth!
Hazel couldn't speak. She wasn't sure whether the lump in her throat was from joy or frustration. If their friends had made it to the doors, if they were really going to show up here in 12 minutes.
Oh, not to worry.
Pacify waved her hand dismissively.
Clytius will handle them. You see, when the chime sounds again,
Someone on our side needs to push the up button, or the doors will fail to open, and whoever is inside, poof, gone. Or perhaps Clytius will let them out and deal with them in person. That depends on you two. Hazel's mouth tasted like tin. She didn't want to ask, but she had to. How exactly does it depend on us? Well, obviously, we need only one set of demigods alive, Pacify said. The lucky two will be taken to Athens and sacrificed to Gia at the Feast of Hope.
Obviously, Leo muttered.
So will it be you two, or your friends in the elevator?
The sorceress spread her hands.
Let's see who is still alive in 11 minutes now.
The cavern dissolved into darkness. Chapter 74. Hazel. Hazel's internal compass spun wildly. She remembered when she was very small, in New Orleans in the late 1930s, her mother had taken her to the dentist to get a bad tooth pulled. It was the first and only time Hazel had ever received ether. The dentist promised it would make her sleepy and relaxed, but Hazel felt like she was floating away from her own body, panicky and out of control. When the ether wore off, she'd been sick for 3 days. This felt like a massive dose of ether. Part of her knew she was still in the cavern. Pacify stood only a few feet in front of them. Clytius waited silently at the doors of death. But layers of mist enfolded Hazel, twisting her sense of reality. She took one step forward and bumped into a wall that shouldn't have been there. Leo pressed his hands against the stone.
What the heck? Where are we?
A corridor stretched out to their left and right. Torches guttered in iron sconces. The air smelled of mildew, as in an old tomb. On Hazel's shoulder, Gale barked angrily, digging her claws into Hazel's collarbone.
Yes, I know, Hazel muttered to the weasel. It's an illusion.
Leo pounded on the wall.
Pretty solid illusion.
Pacify laughed. Her voice sounded watery and far away.
Is it an illusion, Hazel Levesque, or something more? Don't you see what I have created?
Hazel felt so off balance she could barely stand, much less think straight. She tried to extend her senses, to see through the mist and find the cavern again, but all she felt were tunnels splitting off in a dozen directions, going everywhere except forward. Random thoughts glinted in her mind, like gold nuggets coming to the surface. Daedalus, the Minotaur locked away. Die slowly in my new domain.
The labyrinth, Hazel said. She's remaking the labyrinth.
What now?
Leo had been tapping the wall with a ball-peen hammer, but he turned and frowned at her.
I thought the labyrinth collapsed during that battle at Camp Half-Blood. Like, it was connected to Daedalus's life force or something, and then he died.
Pacify's voice clucked disapprovingly.
Ah, but I am still alive. You credit Daedalus with all the maze's secrets? I breathed magical life into his labyrinth. Daedalus was nothing compared to me. The immortal sorceress, daughter of Helios, sister of Circe. Now the labyrinth will be my domain.
It's an illusion, Hazel insisted. We just have to break through it.
Even as she said it, the walls seemed to grow more solid, the smell of mildew more intense.
Too late, Pacify crooned. The maze is already awake. It will spread under the skin of the earth once more while your mortal world is leveled. You demigods, you heroes, will wander its corridors, dying slowly of thirst and fear and misery. Or perhaps, if I am feeling merciful, you will die quickly, in great pain.
Holes opened in the floor beneath Hazel's feet. She grabbed Leo and pushed him aside as a row of spikes shot upward, impaling the ceiling.
Run! She yelled.
Pacify's laughter echoed down the corridor.
Where are you going, young sorceress? Running from an illusion?
Hazel didn't answer. She was too busy trying to stay alive. Behind them, row after row of spikes shot toward the ceiling with a persistent thunk, thunk, thunk. She pulled Leo down a side corridor, leaped over a tripwire, then stumbled to a halt in front of a pit 20 feet across.
How deep is that?
Leo gasped for breath. His pants leg was ripped where one of the spikes had grazed him. Hazel's senses told her that the pit was at least 50 feet straight down, with a pool of poison at the bottom. Could she trust her senses? Whether or not Pacify had created a new labyrinth, Hazel believed they were still in the same cavern, being made to run aimlessly back and forth, while Pacify and Clytius watched in amusement. Illusion or not, unless Hazel could figure out how to get out of this maze, the traps would kill them.
8 minutes now, said the voice of Pacify. I'd love to see you survive, truly. That would prove you worthy sacrifices to Gia in Athens. But then, of course, we wouldn't need your friends in the elevator.
Hazel's heart pounded. She faced the wall to her left. Despite what her senses told her, that should be the direction of the doors. Pacify should be right in front of her. Hazel wanted to burst through the wall and throttle the sorceress. In 8 minutes, she and Leo needed to be at the doors of death to let their friends out. But Pacify was an immortal sorceress, with thousands of years of experience in weaving spells. Hazel couldn't defeat her through sheer willpower. She'd managed to fool the bandit Skyron by showing him what he expected to see. Hazel needed to figure out what Pacify wanted most.
7 minutes now, Pacify lamented. If only we had more time. So many indignities I'd like you to suffer.
That was it, Hazel realized. She had to run the gauntlet. She had to make the maze more dangerous, more spectacular. Make Pacify focus on the traps rather than the direction the labyrinth was leading.
Leo, we're going to jump, Hazel said. But it's not as far as it looks. Go!
She grabbed his hand and they launched themselves across the pit. When they landed, Hazel looked back and saw no pit at all, just a 3-inch crack in the floor.
Come on, she urged.
They ran as the voice of Pacify droned on.
Oh dear, no. You'll never survive that way. 6 minutes.
The ceiling above them cracked apart. Gale the weasel squeaked in alarm, but Hazel imagined a new tunnel leading off to the left. A tunnel even more dangerous, going the wrong direction. The mist softened under her will. The tunnel appeared, and they dashed to one side. Pacify sighed with disappointment.
You really aren't very good at this, my dear.
But Hazel felt a spark of hope. She'd created a tunnel. She'd driven a small wedge into the magic fabric of the labyrinth. The floor collapsed under them. Hazel jumped to one side, dragging Leo with her. She imagined another tunnel, veering back the way they'd come, but full of poisonous gas. The maze obliged.
Leo, hold your breath, she warned. They plunged through the toxic fog. Hazel's eyes felt like they were being rinsed in pepper juice, but she kept running.
5 minutes, Pacify said. Alas, if only I could watch you suffer longer.
They burst into a corridor with fresh air. Leo coughed.
If only she would shut up.
They ducked under a bronze garrote wire. Hazel imagined the tunnel curving back toward Pacify, ever so slightly. The mist bent to her will. The walls of the tunnel began to close in on either side. Hazel didn't try to stop them. She made them close faster, shaking the floor and cracking the ceiling. She and Leo ran for their lives, following the curve as it brought them closer to what she hoped was the center of the room.
A pity, said Pacify. I wish I could kill you and your friends in the elevator. But Gia has insisted that two of you must be kept alive until the Feast of Hope, when your blood will be put to good use. Ah, well, I will have to find other victims for my labyrinth. You two have been second-rate failures.
Hazel and Leo stumbled to a stop. In front of them stretched a chasm so wide Hazel couldn't see the other side. From somewhere below in the darkness came the sound of hissing. Thousands and thousands of snakes. Hazel was tempted to retreat, but the tunnel was closing behind them, leaving them stranded on a tiny ledge. Gale the weasel paced across Hazel's shoulders and farted with anxiety.
Okay, okay, Leo muttered. The walls are moving parts. They gotta be mechanical. Give me a second.
No, Leo, Hazel said. There's no way back.
But...
Hold my hand, she said. On three.
But...
Three?
What?
Hazel leaped into the pit, pulling Leo with her. She tried to ignore his screaming and the flatulent weasel clinging to her neck. She bent all her will into redirecting the magic of the labyrinth. Pacify laughed with delight, knowing that any moment they would be crushed or bitten to death in a pit of snakes. Instead, Hazel imagined a chute in the darkness, just to their left. She twisted in midair and fell toward it. She and Leo hit the chute hard and slid into the cavern, landing right on top of Pacify.
Ah!
The sorceress's head smacked against the floor as Leo sat down hard on her chest. For a moment, the three of them and the weasel were a pile of sprawling bodies and flailing limbs. Hazel tried to draw her sword, but Pacify managed to extricate herself first. The sorceress backed away, her hairdo bent sideways like a collapsed cake. Her dress was smeared with grease stains from Leo's tool belt.
You miserable wretches, she howled.
The maze was gone. A few feet away, Clytius stood with his back to them, watching the doors of death. By Hazel's calculation, they had about 30 seconds until their friends arrived. Hazel felt exhausted from her run through the maze while controlling the mist, but she needed to pull off one more trick. She had successfully made Pacify see what she most desired. Now, Hazel had to make the sorceress see what she most feared.
You must really hate demigods, Hazel said,
trying to mimic Pacify's cruel smile.
We always get the best of you, don't we, Pacify?
Nonsense, screamed Pacify. I will tear you apart. I will...
We're always pulling the rug out from under your feet, Hazel sympathized. Your husband betrayed you. Theseus killed the Minotaur and stole your daughter Ariadne. Now, two second-rate failures have turned your own maze against you. But you knew it would come to this, didn't you? You always fall in the end.
I am immortal! Pacify wailed.
She took a step back, fingering her necklace.
You cannot stand against me.
You can't stand at all, Hazel countered. Look. She pointed at the feet of the sorceress. A trap door opened underneath Pacify. She fell, screaming, into a bottomless pit that didn't really exist. The floor solidified. The sorceress was gone. Leo stared at Hazel in amazement.
How did you...
Just then, the elevator dinged. Rather than pushing the up button, Clydeus stepped back from the controls, keeping their friends trapped inside.
Leo!
Hazel yelled. They were 30 feet away, much too far to reach the elevator, but Leo pulled out a screwdriver and chucked it like a throwing knife. An impossible shot. The screwdriver spun straight past Clydeus and slammed into the up button. The doors of death opened with a hiss. Black smoke billowed out, and two bodies spilled face first onto the floor. Percy and Annabeth, limp as corpses. Hazel sobbed.
Oh, gods!
She and Leo started forward, but Clydeus raised his hand in an unmistakable gesture. Stop. He lifted his massive reptilian foot over Percy's head. The giant's smoky shroud poured over the floor, covering Annabeth and Percy in a pool of dark fog.
Clydeus, you've lost, Hazel snarled. Let them go or you'll end up like Pacify.
The giant tilted his head. His diamond eyes gleamed. At his feet, Annabeth lurched like she'd hit a power line. She rolled on her back, black smoke coiling from her mouth.
I am not Pacify.
Annabeth spoke in a voice that wasn't hers, the words as deep as a bass guitar.
You have won nothing.
Stop that!
Even from 30 feet away, Hazel could sense Annabeth's life force waning, her pulse becoming thready. Whatever Clydeus was doing, pulling words from her mouth, it was killing her. Clydeus nudged Percy's head with his foot. Percy's face lolled to one side.
Not quite dead.
The giant's words boomed from Percy's mouth.
A terrible shock to the mortal body, I would imagine, coming back from Tartarus. They'll be out for a while.
He turned his attention back to Annabeth. More smoke poured from between her lips.
I'll tie them up and take them to Porphyrion in Athens. Just the sacrifice we need. Unfortunately, that means I have no further use for you two.
Oh, yeah? Leo growled. Well, maybe you got the smoke, buddy, but I've got the fire.
His hands blazed. He shot white-hot columns of flame at the giant. But Clydeus's smoky aura absorbed them on impact. Tendrils of black haze traveled back up the lines of fire, snuffing out the light and heat and covering Leo in darkness. Leo fell to his knees, clutching at his throat.
No!
Hazel ran toward him, but Gale chattered urgently on her shoulder, a clear warning.
I would not.
Clydeus's voice reverberated from Leo's mouth.
You do not understand, Hazel Levesque. I devour magic. I destroy the voice and the soul. You cannot oppose me.
Black fog spread farther across the room, covering Annabeth and Percy, billowing toward Hazel. Blood roared in Hazel's ears. She had to act, but how? If that black smoke could incapacitate Leo so quickly, what chance did she have?
Fire, she stammered in a small voice. You're supposed to be weak against it.
The giant chuckled, using Annabeth's vocal cords this time.
You were counting on that, eh? It is true I do not like fire, but Leo Valdez's flames are not strong enough to trouble me.
Somewhere behind Hazel, a soft, lyrical voice said,
"What about my flames, old friend?"
Gale squeaked excitedly and jumped from Hazel's shoulder, scampering to the entrance of the cavern, where a blonde woman stood in a black dress, the mist swirling around her. The giant stumbled backward, bumping into the doors of death.
"You,"
he said from Percy's mouth.
"Me," Hecate agreed.
She spread her arms. Blazing torches appeared in her hands.
"It has been millennia since I fought at the side of a demigod, but Hazel Levesque has proven herself worthy. What do you say, Clytius? Shall we play with fire?"
Chapter 75. Hazel. If the giant had run away screaming, Hazel would have been grateful. Then they all could have taken the rest of the day off. Clytius disappointed her. When he saw the goddess's torches blazing, the giant seemed to recover his wits. He stomped his foot, shaking the floor and almost stepping on Annabeth's arm. Dark smoke billowed around him until Annabeth and Percy were totally hidden. Hazel could see nothing but the giant's gleaming eyes.
"Bold words," Clytius spoke from Leo's mouth. "You forget, goddess. When we last met, you had the help of Hercules and Dionysus, the most powerful heroes in the world, both of them destined to become gods. Now you bring these?"
Leo's unconscious body contorted in pain.
"Stop it!"
Hazel yelled. She didn't plan what happened next. She simply knew she had to protect her friends. She imagined them behind her, the same way she'd imagined new tunnels appearing in Pacify's labyrinth. Leo dissolved. He reappeared at Hazel's feet, along with Percy and Annabeth. The mist whirled around her, spilling over the stones and enveloping her friends. Where the white mist met the dark smoke of Clytius, it steamed and sizzled, like lava rolling into the sea. Leo opened his eyes and gasped.
What?
Annabeth and Percy remained motionless, but Hazel could sense their heartbeats getting strong, their breath coming more evenly. On Hecate's shoulder, Gale the polecat barked with admiration. The goddess stepped forward, her dark eyes glittering in the torchlight.
"You're right, Clytius. Hazel Levesque is not Hercules or Dionysus, but I think you will find her just as formidable."
Through the smoky shroud, Hazel saw the giant open his mouth. No words came out. Clytius sneered in frustration. Leo tried to sit up.
"What's going on? What can I...
Watch Percy and Annabeth." Hazel drew her spatha.
"Stay behind me. Stay in the mist."
"But..."
The look Hazel gave him must have been more severe than she realized. Leo gulped.
"Yeah, got it. White mist good, black smoke bad."
Hazel advanced. The giant spread his arms. The domed ceiling shook, and the giant's voice echoed through the room, magnified 100 times.
"Formidable?" the giant demanded.
It sounded as if he were speaking through a chorus of the dead, using all the unfortunate souls who'd been buried behind the dome's stele.
"Because the girl has learned your magic tricks, Hecate? Because you allow these weaklings to hide in your mist?"
A sword appeared in the giant's hand, a Stygian iron blade, much like Nico's, except 5 times the size.
"I do not understand why Gia would find any of these demigods worthy of sacrifice. I will crush them like empty nutshells."
Hazel's fear turned to rage. She screamed. The walls of the chamber made a crackling sound, like ice in warm water, and dozens of gems streaked toward the giant, punching through his armor like buckshot. Clydeus staggered backward. His disembodied voice bellowed with pain. His iron breastplate was peppered with holes. Golden ichor trickled from a wound on his right arm. His shroud of darkness thinned. Hazel could see the murderous expression on his face.
"You," Clytius growled. "You worthless!"
"Worthless?" Hecate asked quietly. "I'd say Hazel Levesque knows a few tricks even I could not teach her."
Hazel stood in front of her friends, determined to protect them, but her energy was fading. Her sword was already heavy in her hand, and she hadn't even swung it yet. She wished Orion were here. She could use the horse's speed and strength. Unfortunately, her equine friend would not be able to help her this time. He was a creature of the wide open spaces, not the underground. The giant dug his fingers into the wound on his biceps. He pulled out a diamond and flicked it aside. The wound closed.
"So, daughter of Pluto," Clytius rumbled, "do you really believe Hecate has your interests at heart? Circe was a favorite of hers, and Medea, and Pasiphae. How did they end up, eh?"
Behind her, Hazel heard Annabeth stirring, groaning in pain. Percy muttered something that sounded like,
"Bob? Bob? Bob?"
Clytius stepped forward, holding his sword casually at his side, as if they were comrades rather than enemies.
"Hecate will not tell you the truth. She sends acolytes like you to do her bidding and take all the risk. If by some miracle you incapacitate me, only then will she be able to set me on fire. Then she will claim the glory of the kill. You heard how Bacchus dealt with the Alidae twins in the Colosseum. Hecate is worse. She is a titan who betrayed the titans. Then she betrayed the gods. Do you really think she will keep faith with you?"
Hecate's face was unreadable.
"I cannot answer his accusations, Hazel," said the goddess. "This is your crossroads. You must choose."
"Yes, crossroads,"
the giant's laughter echoed. His wounds seemed to have healed completely.
"Hecate offers you obscurity, choices, vague promises of magic. I am the anti-Hecate. I will give you truth. I will eliminate choices and magic. I will strip away the mist once and for all and show you the world in all its true horror."
Leo struggled to his feet, coughing like an asthmatic.
"I'm loving this guy," he wheezed. "Seriously, we should keep him around for inspirational seminars."
His hands ignited like blowtorches.
"Or I could just light him up."
"Leo, no," Hazel said. "My father's temple. My call."
"Yeah, okay, but..."
"Hazel?"
Annabeth wheezed. Hazel was so elated to hear her friend's voice that she almost turned, but she knew she shouldn't take her eyes off Clytius.
"The chains," Annabeth managed.
Hazel inhaled sharply. She'd been a fool. The doors of death were still open, shuddering against the chains that held them in place. Hazel had to cut them free so they would disappear and finally be beyond Gia's reach. The only problem? A big smoky giant stood in her way.
"You can't seriously believe you have the strength," Clytius chided. "What will you do, Hazel Levesque? Pelt me with more rubies? Shower me with sapphires?"
Hazel gave him an answer. She raised her spatha and charged. Apparently, Clytius hadn't expected her to be quite so suicidal. He was slow raising his sword. By the time he slashed, Hazel had ducked between his legs and jabbed her imperial gold blade into his gluteus maximus. Not very ladylike. The nuns at St. Agnes would never have approved. But it worked. Clytius roared and arched his back, waddling away from her. Mist still swirled around Hazel, hissing as it met the giant's black smoke. Hazel realized that Hecate was assisting her, lending her the strength to keep up a defensive shroud. Hazel also knew that the instant her own concentration wavered and that darkness touched her, she would collapse. If that happened, she wasn't sure Hecate would be able or willing to stop the giant from crushing her and her friends. Hazel sprinted toward the doors of death. Her blade shattered the chains on the left side like they were made of ice. She lunged to the right, but Clytius yelled, "No!" By sheer luck, she wasn't cut in half. The flat of the giant's blade caught her in the chest and sent her flying. She slammed into the wall and felt bones crack. Across the room, Leo screamed her name. Through her blurry vision, she saw a flash of fire. Hecate stood nearby, her form shimmering as if she were about to dissolve. Her torches seemed to be flickering out, but that might have just been that Hazel was starting to lose consciousness. She couldn't give up now. She forced herself to stand. Her side felt like it was embedded with razor blades. Her sword lay on the ground about 5 feet away. She staggered toward it. "Clytius!" she shouted. She meant it to sound like a brave challenge, but it came out as more of a croak. At least it got his attention. The giant turned from Leo and the others. When he saw her limping forward, he laughed.
"A good try, Hazel Levesque," Clytius admitted. "You did better than I anticipated. But magic alone cannot defeat me, and you do not have sufficient strength. Hecate has failed you, as she fails all of her followers in the end."
The mist around her was thinning. At the other end of the room, Leo tried to force feed Percy some ambrosia, though Percy was still pretty much out of it. Annabeth was awake, but struggling, barely able to lift her head. Hecate stood with her torches, watching and waiting, which infuriated Hazel so much she found one last burst of energy. She threw her sword, not at the giant, but at the doors of death. The chains on the right side shattered. Hazel collapsed in agony, her side burning, as the doors shuddered and disappeared in a flash of purple light. Clytius roared so loudly that a half dozen steely fell from the ceiling and shattered.
"That was for my brother Nico," Hazel gasped, "and for destroying my father's altar."
"You have forfeited your right to a quick death," the giant snarled. "I will suffocate you in darkness, slowly, painfully. Hecate cannot help you. No one can help you."
The goddess raised her torches.
"I would not be so certain, Clytius. Hazel's friends simply needed a little time to reach her. Time you have given them with your boasting and bragging."
Clytius snorted.
"What friends? These weaklings? They are no challenge."
In front of Hazel, the air rippled. The mist thickened, creating a doorway, and four people stepped through. Hazel wept with relief. Frank's arm was bleeding and bandaged, but he was alive. Next to him stood Nico, Piper, and Jason, all with their swords drawn.
"Sorry we're late," Jason said. "Is this the guy who needs killing?"
Chapter 76. Hazel. Hazel almost felt sorry for Clytius. They attacked him from every direction, Leo shooting fire at his legs, Frank and Piper jabbing at his chest, Jason flying into the air and kicking him in the face. Hazel was proud to see how well Piper remembered her sword fighting lessons. Each time the giant's smoky veil started creeping around one of them, Nico was there, slashing through it, drinking in the darkness with his Stygian blade. Percy and Annabeth were on their feet, looking weak and dazed, but their swords were drawn. When did Annabeth get a sword? And what was it made of? Ivory? They looked like they wanted to help, but there was no need. The giant was surrounded. Clydeus snarled, turning back and forth as if he couldn't decide which of them to kill first.
Wait! Hold still! No! Ouch!
The darkness around him dispelled completely, leaving nothing to protect him except his battered armor. Ichor oozed from a dozen wounds. The damage healed almost as fast as it was inflicted, but Hazel could tell the giant was tiring. One last time, Jason flew at him, kicking him in the chest, and the giant's breastplate shattered. Clydeus staggered backward. His sword dropped to the floor. He fell to his knees, and the demigods encircled him. Only then did Hecate step forward, her torches raised. Mist curled around the giant, hissing and bubbling as it touched his skin.
"And so it ends," Hecate said.
"It does not end!"
Clydeus's voice echoed from somewhere above, muffled and slurred.
"My brethren have risen! Gia waits only for the blood of Olympus! It took all of you together to defeat me! What will you do when the Earth Mother opens her eyes?"
Hecate turned her torches upside down. She thrust them like daggers at Clydeus's head. The giant's hair went up faster than dry tinder, spreading down his head and across his body, until the heat of the bonfire made Hazel wince. Clydeus fell without a sound, face first in the rubble of Hades's altar. His body crumbled to ashes. For a moment, no one spoke. Hazel heard a ragged, painful noise and realized it was her own breathing. Her side felt like it had been kicked in with a battering ram. The goddess Hecate faced her.
"You should go now, Hazel Levesque. Lead your friends out of this place."
Hazel gritted her teeth, trying to hold in her anger.
"Just like that? No thank you? No good work?"
The goddess tilted her head. Gale the Weasel chittered. Maybe a goodbye. Maybe a warning, and disappeared in the folds of her mistress's skirt.
"You look in the wrong place for gratitude," Hecate said. "As for good work, that remains to be seen. Speed your way to Athens. Clytius was not wrong. The giants have risen, all of them, stronger than ever. Gia is on the very edge of waking. The Feast of Hope will be poorly named unless you arrive to stop her."
The chamber rumbled. Another stela crashed to the floor and shattered.
"The House of Hades is unstable," Hecate said. "Leave now. We shall meet again."
The goddess dissolved. The mist evaporated.
"She's friendly," Percy grumbled.
The others turned toward him and Annabeth, as if just realizing they were there.
"Dude!"
Jason gave Percy a bear hug.
"Back from Tartarus," Leo whooped. "That's my peeps!"
Piper threw her arms around Annabeth and cried. Frank ran to Hazel. He gently folded his arms around her.
"You're hurt," he said.
"Ribs probably broken," she admitted. "But Frank, what happened to your arm?"
He managed a smile.
"Long story. We're alive. That's what matters."
She was so giddy with relief it took her a moment to notice Nico, standing by himself, his expression full of pain and conflict. "Hey," she called to him, beckoning with her good arm. He hesitated, then came over and kissed her forehead.
"I'm glad you're okay," he said. "The ghosts were right. Only one of us made it to the doors of death. You would have made Dad proud."
She smiled, cupping her hand gently to his face.
"We couldn't have defeated Claudius without you."
She brushed her thumb under Nico's eye and wondered if he had been crying. She wanted so badly to understand what was going on with him, what had happened to him over the last few weeks. After all they'd just been through, Hazel was more grateful than ever to have a brother. Before she could say that, the ceiling shuddered. Cracks appeared in the remaining tiles. Columns of dust spilled down.
"We've got to get out of here," Jason said. Frank?"
Frank shook his head.
"I think one favor from the dead is all I can manage today."
"Wait, what?"
Hazel asked. Piper raised her eyebrows.
"Your unbelievable boyfriend called in a favor as a child of Mars. He summoned the spirits of some dead warriors, made them lead us here through, well, I'm not sure, actually. The passages of the dead? All I know is that it was very, very dark."
To their left, a section of the wall split. Two ruby eyes from a carved stone skeleton popped out and rolled across the floor.
"We'll have to shadow travel," Hazel said.
Nico winced.
"Hazel, I can barely manage that with only myself. With seven more people..."
"I'll help you."
She tried to sound confident. She'd never shadow traveled before, had no idea if she could. But after working with the mist, altering the labyrinth, she had to believe it was possible. An entire section of tiles peeled loose from the ceiling.
"Everyone grab hands!" Nico yelled.
They made a hasty circle. Hazel envisioned the Greek countryside above them. The cavern collapsed, and she felt herself dissolving into shadow. They appeared on the hillside overlooking the River Acheron. The sun was just rising, making the water glitter and the clouds glow orange. The cool morning air smelled of honeysuckle. Hazel was holding hands with Frank on her left, Nico on her right. They were all alive and mostly whole. The sunlight in the trees was the most beautiful thing she'd ever seen. She wanted to live in that moment, free of monsters and gods and evil spirits. Then her friends began to stir. Nico realized that he was holding Percy's hand and quickly let go. Leo staggered backward.
"You know, I think I'll sit down."
He collapsed. The others joined him. The Argo II still floated over the river a few hundred yards away. Hazel knew that they should signal Coach Hedge and tell him they were alive. Had they been in the temple all night? Or several nights? But at the moment, the group was too tired to do anything except sit and relax and marvel at the fact that they were okay. They began to exchange stories. Frank explained what had happened with the Ghostly Legion and the Army of Monsters, how Nico had used the Scepter of Diocletian, and how bravely Jason and Piper had fought.
"Frank is being modest," Jason said. "He controlled the entire Legion. You should have seen him." "Oh, by the way,"
Jason glanced at Percy.
"I resigned my office, gave Frank a field promotion to praetor, unless you want to contest that ruling."
Percy grinned.
"No argument here."
"Praetor?"
Hazel stared at Frank. He shrugged uncomfortably.
"Well, yeah, I know it seems weird."
She tried to throw her arms around him, then winced as she remembered her busted ribs. She settled for kissing him.
It seems perfect.
Leo clapped Frank on the shoulder.
Way to go, Jong. Now you can order Octavian to fall on his sword.
Tempting, Frank agreed. He turned apprehensively to Percy.